So this past week, I spent a few days camping with friends from seminary. Our campground had plenty of hiking trails, and so on Wednesday, we leashed up our dogs, there were three in all, and we went to explore one of our many trail options. Here's a little hiking logic for your next adventure. If you're about to start a hike and you see that the beginning of a trail has a giant tree trunk blocking it, you probably shouldn't go that way. Most likely the trail is closed, maybe because it hasn't been maintained, or maybe it's no longer safe, maybe there are more fallen trees. Whatever the case, the point is that you shouldn't go down the trail any further, and you should find a different path to take. When you see the fallen log, you should stop. The problem is, most hikers are adventurous, curious, even stubborn. They like to test nature's boundaries. And as most of you who are parents will know, testing boundaries often brings troubles of its own. You and I like to test boundaries. We like to explore. We are a curious species, humans, always pushing the limits. Sometimes our limit testing can lead to good things, new discoveries, scientific achievements, personal successes. But all too easily, testing the boundaries and pushing the limits can sometimes also hurt others or cause unintended consequences, leading to regret. Particularly when we test another person, things can go south pretty quickly or cause a breach of trust. Today in our first reading, the Israelites have been a bit like hikers on a long journey. Years of time in the wilderness, relying on God as their guide, and yet they have struggled not to push back or ask more of God. And God, well, God seems to be sick of it. Sick of them pushing back, testing the limits. God says that these people have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have tested me 10 times and have not obeyed my voice. Stop pushing the boundaries, God seems to say. A more blatant translation might read, stop sinning, stop racking up debt, stop these offenses that will cause you to owe me, creating dues that you will never be able to repay. You and I are not unlike the Israelites. We humans have been like them for centuries. Really, what it comes down to is that we sin. We fall short. We mess up and we make mistakes. There is no shortage of ways that we test God's boundaries. We complain that we don't have enough when in actuality we have more than what we need. We manipulate others to get what we want. We tell ourselves that, okay, sure, we sin, but our neighbor sins more, so it's okay when we do it. And the list can go on and on. Like the Israelites, we push and push and push, always pushing back at God, always pushing God's limits. We like to test boundaries. Here is the good news. God forgives. God makes us new. God wipes the books clean. Then the Lord said, I do forgive, just as you have asked. God does forgive the Israelites for all their disobedience and testing moments, and God forgives you too. God's forgiveness doesn't mean that everything is perfect, once again. Part of the consequence of the Israelites' actions meant that many of them did not get to enter the promised land. But they are, all of them, forgiven. You are forgiven too. No matter where you have made mistakes in life, no matter what you have done that was unkind or unwise or not what God would want you to do, God still loves you. God still calls you child. God always forgives you, no matter what. God's forgiveness may not automatically fix all our earthly problems or the earthly consequences of our actions, but God's forgiveness does mean that there is always a place for you in God's arms. We've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer as a sermon series for the last few weeks. And this week, clearly, the focus is on forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. In the midst of all my camping adventures, I still had this portion of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts," in the back of my mind. And it reminded me of one of my favorite books from upper elementary school. Called A Week in the Woods, the book tells the story of Mark, a spoiled, know-it-all fifth grader who has recently moved with his family to a very small town. Mark's new science teacher runs a program for the school called A Week in the Woods, where the fifth graders go on a week-long camping trip each year. During this year's camping trip, various mishaps lead to Mark taking off on his own to prove that he can survive in the woods by himself. Soon, Mark's science teacher realizes that he has been treating Mark unfairly, and he becomes distressed upon learning that Mark has disappeared. As the science teacher heads off into the woods to find and bring Mark home, he does so knowing that he will forgive Mark, no matter how much frustration Mark has caused. God is kind of like this science teacher. Frustrated and annoyed as God might be with our know-it-all attitudes and our desire to prove that we don't need anyone's help, God forgives us, always. And God always sets out to look for us and bring us home. God forgives. We are invited to live gratefully. We are invited to live in joy, invited to live lives full of the love that God has so graciously given to us. When we pray, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors," we are praying that not only would God forgive us and bring us back into relationship with God, but that God would be with us and that God would help us to forgive others. Grateful for the mercy and forgiveness that God has shown to us, we are invited to extend that mercy and forgiveness to others. Now, perhaps we're not able to forgive all people for all situations. And that's okay, because ultimate forgiveness comes from God and not us. But we are invited to live in gratitude for what God has done for us. And one way that we can live gratefully and joyfully is by forgiving others. Back in December, before things got totally crazy, the Washington Post had released a set of stories for the holidays and the coming new year that was about forgiveness. Featuring four stories of four individuals' experience with forgiveness, the piece told of the difficulties in choosing to forgive, as well as the benefits. Stories of forgiveness of someone's medical debt, forgiveness between spouses, forgiveness between abused and abuser, and the inability to forgive were told. Each narrative talked about the weight of carrying anger and resentment around. And three of the stories noted the way it felt like a burden had been lifted once they were able to forgive. All of the stories told how the road to forgiveness wasn't easy. But where reconciliation was possible, people were able to live with more gratitude and more joy. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray to forgive others because he knows that forgiveness brings fullness of life, brings peace, brings gratitude. When we experience forgiveness, we can better remember how difficult it might be for God to forgive us sometimes, and yet God always forgives us anyway. For this great gift of forgiveness, we are grateful. And so we are invited to live gratefully. We live in a world where resentment and fractured relationships seem to rule the day. But God invites us to live differently, to live in a way where we receive forgiveness and are invited to offer forgiveness. Not because it will magically fix everything, but because it brings us new life. In a world of winding, rocky, and even closed trails, God's forgiveness finds us and brings us home, always. Amen.